And we'll be seated momentarily, but let's go into the word of the Lord for this morning. There's just a great spirit. It's a bleed over from last night. Prayer meeting last night was absolutely awesome. And that spirit is here again, here today. Praise the Lord. To all of our guests and visitors, thank you. Amen. Don't be confused about what's going on. Just enjoy the presence of the Lord that you feel. Amen. God is good all the time, and He's good this time. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to look at, I can't hardly see. My eyes are so blurry right now. Praise the Lord. Brother Johnny, you mess with me today. I'm going to mess with you next time I see you, buddy. Jeremiah 18 and 2. Arise and go down to the potter's house. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've risen. And now say, I'm in the potter's house. Because that's exactly where you are. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. So we have risen. We have arrived at the potter's house. And now it's time to hear his words. Praise God. Amen. And so here's what I want to preach for a little while. People of clay. People of clay. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us today. Jesus, by your wonderful spirit, your great anointing, we thank you, Lord, for what is here this morning. We thank you for the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost, the undergirding of the Holy Ghost. We can literally feel the loving arms of God wrapped around each and every one of us, Lord, and we praise you for that today. Thank you for your goodness, and thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your hope, and thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, God richly blesses. You're seated just now. Thank you for being in the house of God. Hallelujah. Amen. People of clay. Now, we bypassed it, and it slipped my mind to have Sister Stephanie Tyre to come up here and make these announcements, and that is no disappointment to her because she doesn't like it. But we've got a lot of exciting things coming up in the near future. We've got seven sizzling Sundays have come back. And so get ready, praise the Lord. There's going to be Western Day and Water Wet and Wild Slide Day and all kind of days coming, and we will have her announce it tonight. But we're going to have a tremendous summer here at Landmark, praise God. A lot of great things coming up, amen. But people of clay, hallelujah. Israel felt that way when Moses spies. In other words, they put it in a special term because they were feeling inferior. They were feeling basically low down. And spies reported back from their excursion into the promised land. Those of you that don't know where I'm at, I'm talking about when Moses sent a few folks in to check out the land that God promised them that they could have, and they're coming back with the report, and it don't sound so good. They said, "There, in their land, we saw giants." That's big things that you can't get over, big things that you can't get through. And then they said, "And we were in our own sight." Everybody say, "My own sight." They said that we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. That's in Numbers 13:33 if you wanted to see that. But something so great, and this was their mentality. They were looking at it like this. And that is that something so great that Moses said, God has prepared for us something so wonderful and so marvelous that God has created for us and wants us to have by simply walking in and taking it. Something so awesome as that, must be a jinx. It just can't be. That's what they were thinking. These people were impressed with the land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a land of unbelievable fertility, a land of incalculable promises. They were also impressed with the inhabitants of the land. So impressed, in fact, that they were wrapped. They were defeated and beaten up before they ever got started. And so, let me just tell you this. Any given problem, any given situation brings two areas. Number one, if there's fault, if there's negative in it, you can find it. If there's a reason why it won't work, it won't happen, if there's a reason why this is not going to get better, you and I can find it. Secondly, and I save the best for last, is if there's any faith that can be found in it, if there's any faith about it, if there's any encouraging into it, if there is any positive about it, you and I can find it. And the only reason that the Holy Ghost allowed you to even come to that point is for you to find out for yourself. He already knew what our makeup was. And the only reason that he would even bring you to that point is for you and I to find out how we think. And if we're thinking that it's not going to work, it's impossible, it's like we're grasshoppers compared to this big thing. This thing is a giant. We can't get through it. And if that's the way we think, then we're going to have to change. Not everything around us, not everybody around us, but the individual right behind your own eyes. The individual between your own ears. Somebody say amen. Praise God. And if once we find out who and what we really are, how we think, how we respond, how we react to circumstances and situations, and we make that for the betterment, that's the moment God begins to work. But until we do, it is going to be a vicious circle. And that's why I said people of clay, because you and I are on the potter's wheel, and that's exactly what it is. And it's going to keep spinning round and round and round until we decide to shape ourselves into what God really is looking for. Some pieces of pottery are made quick, and some are made slow. Amen. But it doesn't matter as long as the job gets done. Usually, the longer it takes, the better the vessel is going to be. Amen. I remember the calling of God coming upon my life, and I thought, Lord, do you know my daddy? Lord, do you know my mama? I remember at about 8 years old, I rode my bicycle all over Framingham, Massachusetts. And you could tell I lived there because people who have never lived there can't pronounce it. Amen. And I lived there and I rode my bike all over town all night long, 8 years old, looking for my mother. That's so sad. Yeah, it was sad. Amen. But I understand it all now. Amen. I was already on the potter's wheel, learning how to deal, learning how to make it work, learning how to make the ends come together. Amen. Hallelujah. But it doesn't matter. God was calling me into the ministry, and I had to make him my mother. I had to make him my father. I had to make him my brother. He wears the shoes of my dad. Hallelujah. He wears the suit coat of my father. Amen. He wears the tie on Sunday. He's the daddy that I look up to. He's the one. I love my dad. I just lost him. I'll always love my daddy. Amen. But my daddy will never be what my God is. Amen. And you need to understand, there's not another person in this world that has the voice of God. There's not another person in this world that can shape you like the master potter. And then God gave me a revelation about my life. And he asked me, he said, "Do you remember Aaron?" I said, "Yeah, I remember Aaron. I've read about him 1,000 times in the Word of God. He's the one that had that rod, and it just blossomed and bloomed and came out, had almonds on it." Amen. A rod. And it had no roots. And the Lord said, "That's what I want you to notice." I didn't want you to notice what it had. I want you to notice what it didn't have. And I said, "It didn't have roots." He said, "You got any roots?" I said, no, sir. There ain't nobody else in my family that lives for God, let alone a denomination somewhere. I mean, none of them's even Catholic. None of them's Baptist. None of them's Presbyterian. And certainly none of them were Pentecostal. And he said, "That's what I want you to see. Now, do you think I can make the rod blossom? Do you think I can make almonds?" I said, "Lord, you can do anything." And he said, "That's why I called you to preach." Hallelujah. I've never been to Bible college. Hallelujah. I've been to the Bible, but I never went to the college. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, we need to understand something. You can run and you can try and you can shout and you can scream in your prayer meetings. Amen. You can weep and cry and get depressed. Hallelujah. You can go to everybody under the sun, but there's only one that puts you on the potter's wheel, and that's the one we need to be communicating with right now and believing God. And when you believe God, don't just tell me. Let your expression show it. Let your worship show it. Let your praise show it. Somebody help me magnify the Lord right now and let the glory of God shine forth. Amen. Somebody's going to be a different person when they leave this building today. And it's not going to be my fault. We're people of clay. And so if there's fault, there's negative, and there's a reason why it won't, that can be found. But if there's faith and there's positive and something good's coming out of this, God, all things work together for the good for those that love the Lord, I can find it. I will find it. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't care what it looks like in my sight. Amen. I don't care what. Hey, I went to a man of God and his wife. I went to their home and rebuked them. I'm sorry. But I did. Hallelujah. Why? Because I had the Word of God to back me. Amen. And when I've got the Word of God to back me, sometimes I feel 8 feet tall. Don't laugh at that. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, I went right into their home. Amen. Hallelujah. You folks were in prayer meeting. It was Saturday night. You didn't even miss me. Amen. I was in their living room. Amen. Somebody got a report in their family from another state, and it was big. It was huge, and all the surgery and all of this, and the man of God of all people was telling, and his wife were telling people, "I don't think he's going to make it. I don't think he's going to come through. All this medication, all this transplant, all this stuff, I don't think he's going to make it. He's not going to come through." And that is the last thing that the people of God need to hear from the man of God. I went to his home and I said, "I want to talk to you all about something." I said, "I'm not mad. I'm glad." Amen. Because it came to me to be the one to share with you, because I love you. I wouldn't want anybody else sharing something with you that didn't love you. But I love you and I'm going to share this with you. Amen. I'm here to tell you, you got to stop spreading all this negative. They said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You got to stop telling people are going to die. People aren't going to make it. They're not going to see it through because the doctor said this and physician said this and others said this. And because you feel this certain way." And they looked right at me. And they said, okay, how do you feel about it? And I looked at them and I said, it don't matter how I feel about it. I'm not God. I can think they're going to die, and the Lord speaks and says, not today. He caught on to what I was saying. His wife didn't like it, and she began to say something. He pointed his finger at her and said, be quiet. And I continued to speak. I said, what about all things working together for the good? I said, what about giving God the praise through everything? What about joy cometh in the morning? Weeping may last for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. What about my God being my God? What about God being your God? And what about God being that man's God that's in trouble right now? Don't you take away anybody's faith. Don't you rebuke anybody's faith by your negativism. But you rise and shine with the glory of God round about you. Now, I understand. I have compassion. I'm a pastor. I've dealt with a lot of things. But we've got to know this. Amen. Hallelujah. As long as you keep pushing the fact that we've got to get a positive attitude and the right spirit about healing, signs and wonders and miracles and evangelism and church growth, finances and all of this business, until we get that for ourselves, you can push it off on everybody else as long as you want to. But here's what's going to happen. Eventually, it's going to weigh on you to the point that we won't see you no more. Because it'll be that wheel will begin to spin doubt, fear, and trembling. Amen. And then you'll begin to make up excuses why God's not working for you. Why God's not real. And God's not right. And God, I can't believe God's letting me go through. Hey, you don't have to believe anything. You just let God be God. And if you don't want to respond because you feel like I'm picking on you, let me tell you something. You're not an island. Amen. I'm going through stuff. Everybody's going through stuff. You're not the only one going through stuff. Amen. I've tried to help you while I was going through my stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. But I have learned that in all things. I said I have learned that in all things. Give God the praise. Oh, I wish it was Sunday night and somebody could help me right now. Amen. There's a breakthrough for somebody at Landmark this morning. There's an anointing that wants to tear down a stronghold for somebody this morning. Amen. Whatever it is you're going through, you hop yourself up on the potter's wheel and keep your mind and your mouth shut and let God do it. Let God shape it. Let God make it. Hallelujah. You can ask that cup all day long. What are you going to be when they get through with you? And it would have been clueless. What are you gonna be? I don't have any idea. First of all, I haven't lost my mind. You couldn't ask that lump of clay because it couldn't speak. Amen. You know, when I get that way, sometimes I wish God would sew my mouth up. Because you can't say it. You can't say what you're feeling. You can't say what you're thinking. You only have to believe what the potter's doing on the wheel. Praise God. Look at Proverbs 3 and 5. I got to get going here. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me give you some news you can use. Hallelujah. I don't have to be in control. Ta-da! Because God is. I don't have to manipulate because God's got this. Amen. I don't have to be rude, lewd, crude, hateful. I don't have to be mean. I don't have to thrust my will on people. Amen. Right? Hello? Amen. God's got this. God's got this. So I can be nice. Amen. You know what the Bible says about winning people? Amen. Especially in a marital situation. It said, by your chaste conversation. That means your conversation can be so pleasant, Brother Tom. It can be so pleasant. It can be so positive until people chase it. I would like to talk to you. Can we go get a cup of coffee? Can we talk? Hallelujah. Your chaste conversation. People will chase your conversation. Have you noticed of lately people want to get, oh, Lord, here he comes. And you say, that's just mean, that's just hateful. I don't know why people don't want it. They're so mean. That's why. That's exactly why. because your conversation is not chaste. Hallelujah. You say, well, I don't feel. Can I tell you again? It doesn't matter how you feel. This is not by feeling. Amen. This is not by sight. You know the Word of God. Quote it to yourself. Hallelujah. In times like these, we need the very presence and essence of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You bear with me while I'm on the potter's wheel a little while. I'll bear with you while you're on the potter's wheel for a little while. But for God's sake, don't make it rough for other people that are on there, because they need all the help they can possibly get. What a difference in a person who has confidence. He's invincible because he counts on the resources of God. You say, I need confidence. No, what you're thinking is you need confidence in yourself. You don't need that. You need confidence in God. Amen. It's all right to think you're nothing because you hit it right on the head. It's all right for me to think I'm nobody, because I just nailed myself right between the eyes. Because that's exactly what I am. Whew, that makes me feel so much better. I don't have anything to prove, Brother Jeff. I don't have anything to prove. Amen. I don't have to sign my signature fancy. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to put forth anything. Hey, all I've got to do is have confidence in God. And He can do with me whatever. If you respect me, I praise God for it. If you don't like me, I praise God for it. It's whatever God wants. It don't matter to me. I'm just on the potter's wheel and He's shaping, making. Yeah, yeah, amen, hallelujah. And so, let me ask, what are you? Are you an accidental, evolved compilation of male and female genes? And some people think they are. Are you an animal with blood and organs and breath, with instincts and muscular reactions? No less and really no more than an ape in Africa in the jungle or something? Some people think they are. Amen. Amen. Some people think. Are you lonely? Isolated? A blob? It is funny. Soon to just dry up. A ripple soon to erase. A speck soon to be blown away. Some people think they are. Amen. What are you really and truly? You might not want to ask your doctor. He'll tell you one thing. You might not want to ask your science professor. He'll tell you another thing. The chemist, he'll tell you something else. But ask God. And God will tell you that you are the creation of my hands. You are the fruit of my labor. You are the apple of my eye. You are the pride of my heart. When I created you, this is what I said. This is good. Somebody ought to say, shakalaka. Amen. He said, this is good. You're the choice object today of God's complete eternal love. I can't say that enough, because if I can get you to believe that, then you will begin to believe that about everyone around you. Because your decisions are based on how you feel about yourself. And that transpires to others. Praise God. Jeremiah was especially disturbed. The prophet Jeremiah wrestled with this whole concept of man. What is he? Where is he going? Why are the dilemmas in life? And he was disturbed that God's people had deaf ears and hard hearts. They would neither listen and they wouldn't heed the warnings that the preacher preached day after day after day. And then God spoke to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 18 and 2. Go down to the potter's house. I want you to watch something. I want you to learn something. And most importantly, I want you to hear my words. Praise God. Pottery is a science of man rather than of manufacturing. So it's a science of man. The potter himself is the most important element. The clay is next. God said, I am the potter, and you are the clay. Long before the house that you dwell in was even erected, created and made, formed, the house existed in the mind and the thoughts of an architect or some builder somewhere. Also, long before the world existed in material form, long before you even became flesh and blood, you existed in the mind of God. You say, oh, I can't fathom that. Stop trying. Stop. And believe it. Everything needs a God. We may as well worship the one that created the universe. Amen. God is knowledgeable. In fact, he knows all things. God also wills things, allows things. He decrees things. He plans things. Not only was God planned what you presently are, but God is planning what you're capable of becoming. God knows the precise processes. He knows the exact processes that it will take for you to finally develop into his will. Amen. I hope I'm not leaving people behind here today, because that would be dangerous. Amen. He knows the process needed to make you a vessel of honor. You will be a vessel of honor, or you will not be. But either way, that's up to you. But either way, the Lord can use you. Amen. Because he can make an example out of anything. I can tell you horror stories. And I can tell you great, positive, exciting, testimonial stories. Both of them are people that God created. Amen. If you desire the good, amen. If you desire the good, if you desire beauty, if you desire perfection, God has a plan. He is the potter. He's the master workman. Amen. He will perfect if you will yield to his hands. If there were nerve endings in clay, from the very start that God began to make a vessel of honor, just like this teacup, if there was nerve vessels in that clay, from the time it became what it was supposed to be, from the time he began to the time it became that, it would have screamed in pain, because the first thing he did was dig into it, and then the next thing he did was break it up so he could get all the elements inside of it that were not supposed to be in there thrown out. And then if that's not enough, he's going to wet it. I can talk about baptism a little while. And then he's going to shape it. And if that's not enough, he's going to put it in a kiln. Is that pronounced right? A dry kiln. And he's going to cook it. And if it had nerve endings and a voice, it would be screaming, my God, haven't I been through enough? No. That's not your decision. That's my decision. You'll see when I'm done. And it's not for you to see right now. Because if you could see the end from the beginning, you wouldn't have any problem with it. There would be no need for faith. If you could see what God was going to make you into, if you could see the miracles God has in store for you, if you could see the heaven that he created for you, I wouldn't even have to preach this message. I wouldn't be able to. You'd be stacked on the platform and all over the altar every time we had church. Why? Because you see the end from the beginning. But faith will not let you see the end until after the beginning. But you keep faith all the way through from the beginning until you get to the ending. So I'm asking, would somebody have faith with me right now? There will be times when you will have to get along with God. Amen. Alone with God, not forcing your will on God, but bending to His. And being alone with God has proven spiritually helpful to a lot of people. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. Elijah often walked and talked with God in the solitude of the desert. John the Baptist discovered faith in the mountains. Saul of Tarsus isolated himself with God in the midst of a storm in the bow of a ship with no one around him that loved him. In fact, he was a prisoner. Prior to stepping forth to turn the Gentile world upside down for Jesus Christ. Don't fret over moments spent alone with God. Let them temper your soul and let them bring out your true nature so God can fix or add to or take away. Once the clay is prepared, once the basic materials are ready, then the potter creates. Then and only then does God take us in His hands for molding on the spinning wheel of life. It is fascinating to watch a pile of raw clay take shape in the potter's hand. No one stands by a creek bank and stares at the clay. But if whatever is being made out of it has been made properly, people want to see it. That's all that was. People want to look at it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Until He gets control, observe the spinning wheel round and round and round and round. And then the smoothing, the lifting, the shaping, the forming, the wheel turns fast. A miracle begins to make it take shape. A vessel, it's tall. A vessel, it's short. A vessel with a narrow neck. A vessel with a spout. A vessel with a handle. A vessel, each an individual, each standing alone. Each a work of art crafted by the potter, not by the vessel itself. Amen. John was a work of the Master's hand. He lived past 100 years old. On Patmos, he saw the heavens open and God's glory revealed. Don't forget, he was boiled in oil before he went to Patmos. That's where he could have been thrown off the potter's wheel. But he wasn't. He was a prince among men. But let's not forget that James, too, was a vessel of honor unto God. He preached but a few sermons, worked but a short little while, died on Herod's chopping block. God fashioned both of these men. In no way would we be justified in thinking John to have a better love than James did from our God. They differed only in their allotted roles. That's it. Amen. 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 The Bible declares, I will bring them. Zechariah 13 and 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire. This is the last part. This last part. I'll bring them, not just to the fire. I will bring them through the fire. Somebody say yes. I will refine them as silver is refined. When you come out of the fire, you will not be what that was over there. And will try them as gold is tried, melted to a purity. They shall call on my name. This is the most important part. I will hear them. Somebody say yes. Hallelujah. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Could you lift your hands and say, He's my God? He's my God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Got a little something here to do. And I want you to see it. Amen. Praise God. Is anything too hard for God? Can these bones live? Can God heal? Can He save? Brother Carson, would you give me a hand? Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Carson's always giving me a hand. Put that cup right there in the middle because I don't want to make a mess. Praise the Lord. Isn't that cup beautiful? I thought it was beautiful. I hope church staff don't get mad at me. I didn't ask permission. We need to make two votes Wednesday. Is it okay if pastor gets a cup every now and then? Praise God. Somebody shout yes. All yeses have it. Hallelujah. And so, should we do this? Just, yeah. All the young people want to see some action. Praise God. Amen. You know, once it's done, somebody finish that. Once it's done, what? Oh, really? Really? Once it's done, huh? Okay, Brother Carson, just take your time because I got that pan because I don't want to make a mess. Could you just bust that puppy up? Look like that. Oh! Yeah. Aiden, quit licking your lips. I knew it. Give it some more. Oh, man. Awesome. Get those slivers because I'll be up here preaching barefooted one day and that wouldn't be good. All right. Praise God. All right. Let me have that right there. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Beautiful. Beautiful. You wanted me to break it up, didn't you? Now you put it back together. Can you? You think you could put that back together with tape? I am preaching to you today. You think you could put that together with super glue? Or gorilla glue? Listen, I've already preached about the gorilla and I ain't going back. And you think it would look as good as it did when I had it up there? Say that again? No? Okay, so then you can't put it back together. How about you, brother? Hey, sis. Oh, mom. Look at you. You look all wise. You look very spiritual. Put that back together. How about you guys matching and rhyming over here? Both of you together, go ahead and put this back together for Pastor before I get in trouble with the church staff. I want your cup to run over. How about you, sis? You want to put this back together for Pastor? Oh, my goodness. Oh my! She's going at it. I'm scared of you. She'd cut herself trying to put that thing together. I don't think there's anybody in the house today that can put this back together. Okay. All right. I think I'll just turn it over. Let God have it. Oh, my word. Are you serious? Are you serious? Look what God can do. For real? Pastor, seriously? You had another one in the pulpit. Duh. Because I can't put it together. And the reason I had another one is because I'm sure God wasn't interested in putting it back together. There's no reason. I'm just simply saying, He can. And if we can believe Him to, why don't you jump to your feet and raise your hands and believe God? Hallelujah. Every one of us are going to come to a place where no man can fix it. You're not going to be smart enough. And you can get mean and hateful all you want to, and you're still not going to be able to. You can get attitude, you can get spirit, or you can humble yourself, and you can have faith. And you can trust God until the day He works it out. And the way He does it, and the way it turns out, is to be accepted. Believed. And trusted. Because God will not force His will on no one. That's why we pray. Especially if it's pertaining to someone else other than ourselves. We can govern ourselves with our own decisions and choices through the Holy Ghost and the power of God. But we can't govern other choices and other decisions and all of that. Amen. No matter what we do, we can put them on trial. We can put them on the stand, and we can accuse, or we can whatever. But all we can do is through prayer and put them on the potter's wheel and let God. And as long as God's spinning, everything's fine. Because as long as the wheel is spinning, there's always hope. Don't you ever forget that. As long as the wheel is spinning. I told you a little bit about my dad. Amen. And then his last moments in this earth, speaking in that heavenly language. After 30-something. And what I appreciate is the fact that an individual in this church told me, your dad's going to get the Holy Ghost before he leaves this world. In my mind, I needed to be on the potter's wheel, because in my spirit, I could not see it. And I'm your pastor. Every one of us are going to come to those times that no one will be able to fix it. My decisions, my choices, my finances, my bank account, my demeanor, my persona, my attitude, the only thing that will fix it is the very presence of God, the very one that brought you here today by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And so God is not searching for gold vessels. He's not searching for silver vessels. He's not searching for ornaments and gorgeous, but He is searching for clean vessels to fill with His Spirit and with His power. The good news is that the master potter can pick up the pieces and make your broken life brand new. And when you're convinced of that, you'll convince everyone around you. They will chase your conversation. They will chase after your prayer. They'll want to be in your home. They'll want to be around you. But we've got to let the potter finish. And we've got to stay on the wheel. And I wonder, is there anybody that would join me on the wheel today? I just want to take you down to the potter's house. And I want to give you a word, because you're a vessel of clay. You're very fragile. Things can be broken. Things can be cracked and broken. Things can be shattered and splattered. Life is going to bring those things. Life is going to bring those things to you and others around you. But that's okay. I'm on the wheel. What was it one man of God said? I'm in the wheel, in the middle of the wheel. And everything's going to be all right. Because I serve a God that's more than all right. Let's call on the name of Jesus together, shall we? If there's someone you feel the need to pray with, would you pray with them? Someone you need to reach out to, would you reach out to them? Let's just believe God. Let's trust the Lord today. Hallelujah for the will of God. For the will of God. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost.
To the throne of grace.
Hallelujah.
To seek your face, I'm burning.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I need you.
Jesus' name.
No place, no one
praise
else will do.
God, praise God.
I need you.
Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost.
The longing inside of me.
In the name,
no place, no one else will do.
In the name,
I need you.
Hallelujah. It's simple submission. It's simply dedicating and relegating your life, your heart, your soul, your mind to God. It's a commitment. It's a dedication. It's a relegating of your will, your purpose, everything that's about you. Submitting, surrendering, committing. Hallelujah. A fresh thing, a new thing, a reviving thing. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
To seek your
glory, glory,
I need
glory, glory.
No place, no one else will do.
Let him pick up the pieces. Let him pick up the fragments. Oh, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Take your time.
No place, no one else will do.
Take your time. Take your time. We can be dropped, just accidentally dropped, forgotten, left by the wayside. We're fragile, very fragile. I remember one time I microwaved a cup of coffee. Apparently, I must have put 3 or 4 minutes on that little cup. It's just a little thin cup, and I cooked it, and I didn't realize it. I took that thing by the handle, and all that was... I love to tease my boys about drinking coffee because they hate coffee. And I tease them about not being old enough to drink coffee, and stuff like that. And I took that cup, and I was standing in front of them in the living room, and I said, "This is good stuff." And as soon as I said something like that along those lines, that thing exploded. You remember that, Carson? It exploded to the point that you could see the coffee, but you had no idea where the mug was. That's the truth. It exploded into a million different tiny particles. And we can smile about that. And the reason is because we can morph that point into a point that no matter what happens in our lives, He can put it all back together again. Amen. I'll never forget when the revelation came to me about Humpty Dumpty. And again, I'm not trying to be all spiritual and misty here today. And don't take me wrong. If you like Humpty Dumpty, just like Humpty Dumpty. But I don't like Humpty Dumpty. The devil's in Humpty Dumpty. That's what I was trying to say. You say, why, preacher? Because it says, how does it go? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And here's the part I don't like. All the king's horses, all the king's men could never put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Well, I'm here to tell you, when the king's men can't, the king can. So I want to tell all of our children that no matter what you face in life in the future, go ahead and have fun with Humpty Dumpty. That's your choice. But I want you to know, as your pastor, nothing can get so bad that God can't put it back together again. Amen. Praise God. And so where you're at's not your daddy's fault. Where you're at's not your mama's fault. Where you're at's not your sibling's fault. Where you're at's not the government's fault. Where you're at is no one's fault. You made some bad choices in life. That's understandable. Now let's make a good one. Before you die and before you go to eternity and have to face a devil and say, it's not my fault I'm here, and you have to hear him say, I don't want to hear it. I'd like to think it wasn't my fault that I was here. Because that's the final time. Amen. Praise God. The best thing I know to do for myself is to just get on the potter's wheel and park. And let God make whatever He wants to make. That's His choice. Can you say amen? I hope I helped you today. If not, Brother Gidros is coming. Did I tell you that? And he'll be here tonight. Come back early for prayer. Let's have great church. Pray for us this afternoon that Pastor can be a help in another church. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Shake hands and be friendly with one another.